The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hay. Still on that high from last Saturday with the beatdown of the Illini. Now we're going to have a little watch party at a friend's house on Saturday to watch, hopefully, Indiana do the same thing to Iowa. Oh my gosh. I told someone, you know, this is kind of joking, but I'm like, this is the happiest day of my life. You know, forget to birth the kids or, you know, all the other cool things have happened. This is all pretty cool. So I hope you guys have enjoyed it as much as I have, and don't get on glass too hard for talking about it nonstop for the last 4 days straight, because every afternoon when I turn on glass in the afternoon, he's talking about it. So anyway, it's a lot of fun, and hopefully it lasts. You know, the old saying is, enjoy it while it lasts. That would be a saying that I'm still kind of concerned about, right? Being an Indiana football fan for 100 years. But I'm a believer, and I think the era of the portal has certainly helped. You have a Heisman potential on your football team. Geez, I mean, that hasn't happened since what, Anthony Thompson, back in the day when AT finished, what, second or third in the Heisman? So, yeah, we'll see how it all rolls. So it's going to be a fun weekend. My weekends have been so busy that I get back to the office to relax, I mean, to get back to rest. So this weekend hopefully won't be quite that bad. I'm going to be out at Edgewood High School on alumni night. We are the game sponsor, Conference Financial, so it made sense for me to do it that game. So I haven't seen the Mustangs in action. I haven't seen any high school football this year. They're doing great. Bloomington South's doing great. And, yeah, hopefully they'll go out and win on Friday night. I'll dig my old Edgewood hat out. I thought about putting the old number 10 jersey on. I have that in my display case. What do you think, guys? Maybe sport at the old Mustang jersey from 1987. I'll probably keep it in the display case. But anyway, let's talk about two things I wanted to tell you. One, see, whenever you write a book, you know, you usually will sign a contract with someone that's going to help you publish it and proofread it and all that. So I finally signed the agreement a couple of days ago on my, and not the overtime book. The overtime book, I've got that handled. That's going to be 2025, the final drive overtime. That's a fourth quarter project. It'll be probably out in January, hopefully, and that'll be good. I have a whole entire presentation built around it. But the one I'm thinking about, or am doing, not thinking about, I've built this business, now what, right? Most small businesses are owned by people between 50 and 70, and they have no idea, most of them, what to do with their business. You know, do you have a family member that's going to join? Do you have a key person that's going to take it over? Are you going to sell it? Are you going to do an ESOP? Are you going to merge it with a bigger company? Well, it's going to be a good book, and I've already got the outline done. So hopefully I can get that thing rolling and have it out sometime. I'm not going to commit totally to that, but I'm going to say maybe May, June of 2026, and then take that on the road, because that's a topic that a lot of people need help with. And it's not just about the money, or it's not about, you know, just always doing the right thing. It's about a mindset, right? It's a mindset of, you've built this business. You're identified in many cases by the business, and you could be a financial advisor like me, a wealth manager. You could be a plumber, an electrician. You could run an HVAC company. You could be a dentist. You could be an optometrist. You could be a CPA, an attorney. You name it, right? Now what? You want to definitely you know, get something for what you've built. You don't just want to die and it go away, which unfortunately happens a lot, and that'll be in my initial comments, or what do you call it, the preface, which I have not started on yet. But I do have a coach that's going to help coach me through it. So I'll keep you guys abreast of what's happening. Remember, I'm a guy that says you can visualize it, but if you don't verbalize it, you're probably not going to do it. So I have a great platform here to verbalize it. You heard me talk about this when I did our first book, Today's Guide to Retirement Planning, the one we revised in 19. And then you heard me talk about 2025, the final drive, what you need to know to win. And I had to verbalize it, and I finally got that done as well. And that published in 2021. So time moves fast, so you've got to be on the throttle. It's life. It's life. Hey, one last thing. Does anyone get the like USA Today at home? I get that at home. And all of a sudden, I get this free copy of the, I don't even know how to pronounce it, the Epoch Times. It's really good. So I think I'm going to get it. Just the 2024 jobs data was off by hundreds of thousands. And why? There's an article on, do doctors make money off vaccinations? A good look at bonuses. I mean, it's a really interesting book. Social Security reveals new service updates. I mean, this is just all on the front page. In-state college tuition for illegal immigrants, what you should know about that. So I don't know. It seems to be pretty down the middle as far as opinions go, because a lot of times when I read the USA Today, you know, you can feel the person that's writing it has an opinion, a really strong opinion. And this one did not. It was very well written, very much news, not opinion, and that's good. That's good. My minister years and years ago said, would always clarify from the pulpit. If it was biblical in the Bible, he would say this is in the Bible. If it was not in the Bible and it was opinion, he would say, now this is not in the Bible. It's my opinion. And if all the news was written that way, and I'm not sure there is a Bible of opinion or whatever, but it's a good one, the Epoch Times. You might want to look it up. All right, let's take a break. Let me see. When we come back, I'm going to talk about some of the headlines from the week. I thought it was pretty interesting. We had Elon Musk. We had some loan defaults that are alarming, and some other stuff, too. Starbucks is in the news and more, but let's talk about Kenny Bland Auctions. They're your full-service auction service. I just texted Dirk last night. They're offering the pre-planning, the sale of your estate or real estate. Visit them online at KennyBlandAuctions.com. Auctions are going on every single week. And I just ran into this fella, Lance Like of the Like Law Group, his big, distinguished-looking beard at Malibu Grill. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. When we get back, headlines of the week. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. It is on a Thursday. It's shaping right up to be a wonderful evening on this Thursday. I hear the weekend's going to be great. Many, many days of sunshine here in Bloomington, Indiana, where we host this show every single week and have for the last 23 years. Thank you for that opportunity. All right, so let's talk about stocks. Stocks posted solid gains last week, propelled by the Fed's decision to cut those darn short-term interest rates. S&P, NASDAQ, and Dow were all up. Stocks started the week with following the president's positive comments on trade talks with China. The news helped push the S&P to close above 6,600 for the very first time. After the Fed announced on Wednesday that it was cutting short-term interest rates by a quarter point, all three major indices fell before rising again in a choppy trading session. Well, you had to digest the Fed decision. All three major averages posted solid gains on Thursday, paced by the tech names, of course. But small caps stole the day's headlines, with the Russell 2000 gaining more than 2% and hitting an intraday record. Oh, man, here we go. Small companies tend to disproportionately benefit when the Fed lowers interest rates, given their reliance on outside funding different than larger companies. They also aren't as affected by tariffs, and they aren't as affected, and they are affected more with deregulation and lower taxes. So we predicted this early on that, you know, the small caps should do pretty good. So the post-cut momentum continued into Friday, and it was the second consecutive week of gains for the Dow, the third week for the NASDAQ and the S&P. And I've got some more news here that's going to talk about this week and how information is digested differently now. So the Fed's decision brought the Fed funds rate down to around 4.25%, lowest level in 3 years, widely anticipated. We knew probably it was going to happen. The real news about the cut was really in the finer points made by Fed Chairman Powell in a post-meeting conference. Again, it's not what they do, it's what they say. He said the move was essentially a risk management cut, which I get that. The concept confused investors a bit. I'm not sure why, because risk management is risk management, right? We're cutting it because we're managing the risk of the economy not doing well. And that kind of resulted in scattered markets across the board. Powell also said two more rate adjustments are penciled in for this year. Another one could happen in 2026 and even in 2027. So a three-year forecast of continued easing of monetary policy. So a lot of stuff happened this week as well. And to add to the data, here's the thing. Like up until now, if we had some bad news, then that was good news, because bad news equals good news that the Fed's going to cut rates. Well, then as the Fed starts to cut rates, then bad news actually becomes kind of bad news. Like, oh my gosh, Starbucks is cutting hundreds more corporate jobs. Stores are closing. Yeah, Starbucks is laying off 900 more corporate workers and closing some North American stores. That's the latest move to trim cost, right? That's the number one cost of any employer is employees. And they want to plow more money into the improving cafes. They said the announcement was the latest sign of a cooling labor market. Number of companies plan to slow hiring in the second half of this year as they deal with economic uncertainty, rising costs. Some firms are conducting layoffs while others are combining jobs, keeping positions vacant, increasing office work requirements. Also have some people leaving their jobs for more flexible employment. And then you had the U.S. jobless claims fell last week. In the week through September 20th, jobless claims declined 218,000 from 232. Not a huge swing, but once again, he had bad news with Starbucks, but that's really just Starbucks trying to get their crap together. And then you had really pretty good news, right? So the market probably went down. It did go down. The number of Americans who newly filed for unemployment benefits dropped last week. Then you see, oh my gosh, GDP grew more than previously estimated in the second quarter, like 3.8% from an estimate of 3.3. It's not uncommon that these revisions happen. The revisions in the job market's been crazy bad. I mean, way off, right? But the GDP, you know, if it's off a point or one-tenth, two-tenths of a point, that's not terribly uncommon. But a miss by a half a point, that's kind of big. The third estimate reflects an upward revision to consumer spending as well. Consumer spending increased at 2.5%, up from an earlier estimate of 1.6. So let's go back here, right? Revise our my commentary. Starbucks, that's really just Starbucks. Rates are being cut as a risk management, but then jobless claims fell, GDP grew, right? And then that now what? So when I left the office on Thursday, the market was down, and it's because of all this. And now they're like, wow, wait a second. Now the Fed may not cut as quickly, right? So we have this back and forth, tug of war always going on. Stay to your principles. Stay invested, because you never know when this thing is going to whipsaw back. Here's something. I'm going to maybe talk about mortgage rates later, but if I have time. But we have been, I mean, we have tried, and you can't hardly stay on top of it, the AI discussion, right? I mean, I've been using it. I use it a lot for just little things. Like I was flying home on November 8th from, where was I coming from? Austin, Texas. And I'm like, oh man, does Indiana have a football game that day? Because I can take this 2:30 flight and then I'll have to get up early and all that. And it said, no, they're actually away at Penn State. So I asked my ChatGPT that, and just boom, within seconds, it scoured around the internet and gave me an answer. And I believe it. But it can do all kinds of other stuff too. It can do creative designs. Like I had to create a parking sign. I've had it do all kinds of things. I mean, it's crazy. And a friend of mine that does real estate up in Indy, I mean, it's eliminating lots of potential jobs, right? And a lot of jobs and a lot of things that we have leaned into, whether it's an attorney for basic documents or whether it's a graphic designer, or I mean, you name it, you go on and on and on and on. You have AI assistants that actually have real voices. You go through the Rally's drive-through, which I wouldn't recommend you go through every day, but I will admit I was in through there the other day, and the burgers and fries were really good. Anyway, the first thing, like this very pleasant voice came on and asked me if I wanted something. I forget, like a big Buford or I don't even know. And I said, well, that's a pleasant sounding voice. Well, then I said, no. And then a real voice came on. All right, how can I help you? So, yeah, I mean, it's going to replace a lot. So people are scrambling around thinking, well, what kind of a job can I have to not be replaced by robots? Well, Elon Musk, this is pretty interesting. It's kind of meaty. Elon Musk says, we will have the best medical care, food, housing, and everything else, and a universal high income when robots take over. And he said by 2030. So what happens when robots takes everyone's jobs away? Well, it's a question hanging over office chatter, think pieces, and late night doomsday scrolling, which I never do. People are scrambling to find AI-proof careers with the predictions that automation could replace nearly every role. The anxiety feels justified. It does feel justified. It's kind of freaky. Elon Musk, however, isn't losing sleep. He's been repeating for years that society won't need a universal basic income, which, you know, that's been something that we've been fighting here in the U.S. It's certainly something that's become popular in some parts of the world, in more socialistic type of economies. He says it will need something bigger. He's calling it universal high income, not basic income, but it's high income. The latest reminder came from the tech commentator David Scott Patterson, claimed on X that by 2030, all jobs will be replaced by AI and robots. Musk replied, "Your estimates are about right. However, intelligent robots in humanoid form will far exceed the population of humans, as every person who will want their own R2-D2 or C-3PO, and then there will be many robots in industries for every human to provide products and services. When robots replace working people, how will those people become unemployed and then sustain their lives?" Well, Musk's answer is, there will be enough universal high income, not merely basic income. Everyone will have the best medical care, food, home, transportation, everything else, sustainable abundance, he's calling it. It's an audacious promise, but he's echoed this for years. Where most politicians discuss universal basic income as a modest safety net for Americans, Musk insists the future demands something far more generous. He stresses high because of his view basic income is not good enough when machines can handle nearly all labor. But then the question is, but the follow-up would be who's going to pay for it? America's already buried $1 trillion in debt, and the funding system where everyone has the best of the best of everything would mean rethinking our entire economic structure. So Musk framing cuts through the panic with kind of sci-fi optimism. Instead of imagining a world where AI, you know, strips people a purpose, he paints one where machines can create societies so efficient that everyone shares in the bounty. Whether the math ever works out or not, I have no idea, but Musk is betting big that the age of the R2-D2, C-3PO won't just make life easier, it's going to make it better. Scares the crap out of me, folks. Let's take a break. When we come back, the big, beautiful bill, 300 pages down to 10. Just wanted to hit a couple highlights again. You know, a lot of times when you hear stuff for the first time, it's actually about the sixth or seventh time you've ever heard it. So if you're like, oh, he's going to talk about that again, I just want to make sure you get it. I'll be right back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone, on this beautiful Thursday evening, or great looking Saturday morning, I hear. I'll be back in next week. I got a whole list of great shows coming up. Jolene Dixon's going to be back from the Social Security Administration early October. We're going to have Ed Slott on sometime this fall. David McKnight, in fact, I printed off something from David McKnight, the author of Power of Zero, somewhere here in my pile. We will have, a portfolio manager for First Eagle Global that only manages the gold reserves. You know, they're the third largest owner of gold, that fund, in the entire world. And it is very fascinating. So he's going to be on. Doug Hughes and I will be co-hosting that show. We're going to have Medicare open enrollment coming up soon. I talked to the guru himself, Josh Norris, just a little while ago, and he plans to come in sometime early October as well, as open enrollment starts on October 15th. Jim and I will probably at least do the gift-giving show, as we always do, for the last, well, I have been doing it forever, and that'll be late November. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how it rolls. All right. So people, so let's talk about mortgage rates real quick before I get into the one big beautiful bill, 300 pages down to 10, which is in my hands here. Mortgage rates are, I mean, I literally hear this daily. People are like, well, you know, the mortgage rates are coming down. And I'm like, they are? Well, mortgage rates aren't set by the Fed. So I tell them, don't bet on any major drops soon. The average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage has drifted down in recent weeks to around 6.25, call it. That's the lowest level it's been in a year. But the figure isn't expected to veer far from 6 or maybe to 7 range, in that range. Mortgage Bankers Association's recent estimate that mortgage rates would actually increase to around 6.5 by the end of the year. The association forecast mortgage rates would only be slightly lower by maybe the end of 2026. So that's a full year and a half away. The Fed does move short-term interest rates, but mortgage rates, and I've said this over and over and over, on the other hand, tend to move loosely with yields on the 10-year Treasury. So if the 10-year sitting around 4, then rates are going to be around 6.25. It's always about 2.25 above. And that's for people with decent credit. So remember, those yields rise and fall based on expectations for the economy, inflation, growth, all that. Last year, mortgage rates slid in anticipation of the Fed cut in that September because they thought that the economy would start to slow. But it hasn't, really. I mean, look at that, 3.5% GDP. So they haven't. I mean, they did peak out, but 6.25 is 6.25, and it's probably going to stay there. So again, I'm campaigning for longer amortization schedules. 45-year amortization will fix it. If you get another 15 years of ability to pay, it's going to help people get into homes who can't otherwise get into a home. And you're like, David, that's insane. Why would you hook into a 45-year mortgage? They're not going to pay it for 45 years. They're going to pay it for 7 to 12. They're going to refinance. They're going to move. And I keep reminding people that this has happened before. In the 90s, there was a 45-year mortgage that was around for a while, not a real long time. In 2007, we had interest-only mortgages. We had reverse amortization mortgages, literally where you paid your balance went up, not down. So why would we not consider a 45-year amortization? I am right about this, and I just don't know who to talk to. I mean, I can talk to our congressperson, or I can talk to senator. I'm going to actually have a meeting, I think, tomorrow or today with Banks' office, Senator Banks. And I'm pounding the pavement. That and daylight savings time. That's the two things that I'm trying to get changed. But like many things, guys, you know me well, that I've tried to crusade. I have failed more than I have succeeded, but it's not because I haven't tried. All right. Remember when I was trying to the entire brokerage industry? I mean, everybody from Schwab to Fidelity to Raymond James, Edward Jones, I mean, you name them, they weren't paying us crap on our cash. Many of them still aren't. I was fighting for it. Felt like it was criminal. They were making it so hard to put money into a money market, make more, and then you have to trade out of it back into cash to make a trade. I'm still fighting that fight. I've almost thrown the towel in because I'm like, well, if rates are coming down, those money market rates are going to come down. And it was a fight worth fighting, but, you know, sometimes you got to pick your fights and you still don't win the war. But anyway, all right, so had a really good piece come my way where they took the 300 pages of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act and boiled it down to 10 pages. And I just think it's really interesting when you take a look at a lot of these things that are in the bill. And I'm going to try to highlight a couple of them for you if I can find my main notes. But I want you to keep in mind that The final few months here we have of 2025 is on top of us, right? It's a critical time to do the proactive retirement account planning. And because of the passage of the bill, the SECURE Act, and then its offspring 2.0, as well as thousands of pages of IRS regulations, have all added up into the mix and have really complicated a bunch of deadlines. And the changes keep coming. The IRS recently just released final regulations on soon-to-be mandatory Roth plan catch-up contributions for higher income earners in 401(k)s and 403(b)s. So There's a lot that a retirement account owner needs to know as the clock runs out on 2025 and what to prepare for as 2026 is on the horizon. So just a couple quick things. I mean, when you take a peek at the individual tax provisions, ordinary income tax brackets stayed in place, inflation adjusted. That's a good thing. That's going to give you a lot of capacity to pay tax on a lot more money at a much lower rate. The standard deduction takes effect this year. It's now 31.5 for married filing joint. If you're over 60, and that's going forward. So that starts this year and it's going to continue and it will go up with inflation. The interest deduction for seniors, the $6,000 extra deduction for each person over 65, with some phase-outs once you get over $150,000 income, but it phases out slowly. That starts this year as well. So you have two more months if you're 65. I just had a client come in who we planned to do a Roth conversion. It was not a big Roth conversion, like $35,000. And I'm like, oh, she goes, but I turned 65 in December. I'm going, oh, wow, there's another $6,000 we get to convert. So happy day for me. And then the husband turns 65 next March. So next year, they'll be able to do $12,000 more of Roth conversions. But you only have 25, 6, 7, and 8 before that thing goes away. State and local income tax deduction, that went up from $10,000 to $40,000. And then it has a 1% annual indexing. That starts in 2025, this year. So that's a big deduction that you may have. With property taxes so high around here, a lot more people will be itemizing. And then you can throw your charitable contributions in, the excise tax on your vehicles, or maybe unreimbursed medical, or tax preparation fees, you know, whatever it is that can be itemized. And then you may want to bunch those things, right, where you get more stuff on this year, and then maybe you'll take the standard next year. So let's see, what else is here? But it makes sense. Oh, tax on tips. We've talked about this, but up to $25,000 deductions for people making tips. And there was a whole list of tips, people that get tips, and I laughed about it that, you know, most of them made sense, right? Servers and you know, whatever. But when you get to the trades and your plumber and your electrician, and I mean, those people qualify to get tips. Assembly people, that makes sense. When people come and assemble something in my house, I'll tip them. And I just keep coming back and laughing at myself when someone said, who in the world tips their plumber? And I'm like, if they show up, I would, right? I mean, how many times have you sat around? Or the cable people. We don't have cable any longer. Just cut the cable. But where they say, or the delivery people from Lowe's or Menards or wherever, and they say, hey, we'll be there sometime between 10 and 2 o'clock. Okay, that's great. And then at 8:30 in the morning, they're calling saying, hey, we're going to be there in 5 minutes. That happens to my wife all the time. She hates it. Tax on overtime. Deduction for overtime pay up to $25,000 for married filing joint, half that for single people. Again, subject to some phase outs. There's still an interest deduction limit for mortgages. Yeah. So it's just interesting to know what is in effect this year. That's my point. This year, 2025, with just a few months left, and why you need to act now. Otherwise, when the clock rings 12 on December 31st, it's over. All these great deductions you just didn't take advantage of. And then you only have maybe a few more years for some and permanent for others. Now, that's the funny thing is everyone knows permanent does not mean permanent. Where is it? I've got a really good piece here. Yeah. So now we're told they're here to stay, right? But let's not get lulled into a false sense of security, because here's the truth. These tax cuts may be permanent on paper, but in reality, they're nothing but permanent. Keep in mind, folks, our debt just passed $37 trillion, and the interest on our debt alone is projected to consume a larger and larger portion of our revenue over the next decade. In fact, by 2035, we'll need massive infusions of cash just to cover the interest on the debt, not to mention Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and defense. So where's that money going to come from? You already really know the answer. When the government needs money and no one else will loan us the money, it does one thing that it's always done in the past, and that's raise taxes. Get it from you and me. Congress can change the rules anytime it needs more revenue, and that time is approaching really, really fast. The good news is, again, the window's open. It won't stay open forever. And a lot of people are hearing permanent tax cuts and thinking, hey, I've got time, but let me be clear. Right? Let me be clear. Just because Congress calls these tax cuts permanent doesn't mean they won't reverse them the minute they need more revenue. And based on math and science, as many people would say, I think more math. The day's coming still. The day is still going to come. And I was telling someone this week, which I've shared with all of you, I don't know. I do not know if it's tariff revenue that will help, will there be a national sales tax, will they means test Social Security, another sin tax, usage taxes. There's all kinds of taxes, right? Gas tax, toll tax, whatever it is to come up with money. I have no idea. But the only thing that me, myself, and I can control is the taxes on my retirement accounts. And if I'm sitting on a big bunch of deferred income, I would rather recognize it now whenever rates are low, deductions are high. Because in the end, at some point, especially if you're married, one of you will file a single tax return. And when you do, guess what happens? You have a check go away, at least one if it's Social Security. Two, your taxes essentially double. And then you're like, well, heck, I need some more money. And if you're going to a tax-free bucket to get it, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. But if it's all taxable, it's not, especially if you have no idea what the tax rates will be. So here we sit in 2025. We thought this was going to be it. It's not. We still do have some runway here to do some good. And then some of these deductions will not be around forever. So let's take a break. When we come back, what's on my outline? Well, I don't know. I'll figure it out when I get back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Have to give credit where credit's due. So my friend David McKnight, the author of the best-selling Power of Zero, I always get his stuff, and a lot of you listen to him as well. So if you heard a little bit of that commentary that I was talking about, I pulled that from his last podcast and obviously didn't read it verbatim or anything. But, so he and I think so much alike. To get him on and to keep driving this home and having other ways to think about it. And I it's funny because people will say, you know what, I got it, but I didn't really get it. And they'll say, until you said this or until you said that. And, you know, where I got one person to finally understand it was the whole accumulation of tax-free dollars passing to your spouse, passing to your kids, and then them being able to keep it for 10 years and doing it sooner than later because that gives you more time to compound the growth. So if you think about it, when I use my $200,000 example that I would do a conversion, it cost me maybe $80,000 in tax, it's over. And you know, and then I'm going to invest it pretty aggressively. But again, at 7.2, it should double every 10, and hopefully it doubles quicker than that. But let's just use 7.2. So my 2 goes to 4, goes to 8, right? Then I die, 55, 65, 75 years old. My wife gets it. She lives at 95. So it went 2, 4, 8, 1.6, 3.2 million. She dies at 95. Willie takes it over. He's 65. He leaves it for 10 years. It grows to 6.4 million, all tax-free. Divide 80,000 into 6.4 million. What percentage is that? That's really what it costs to get 6.4 tax-free. It is mind-blowing. And some people, you can hear it, but some people are visual. So more visual than they learn from hearing. So our system that we use a system called Money Guide Pro. There's another one, eMoney, that's really good. And it's none of them are perfect, but this one's gotten better and better and better. When we show clicking a conversion on and then clicking one off and then showing them the composition of their assets at the end of their plan, and what does that mean? That means when you're dead. If people ask that, it says, bills plan ends. Okay. That means you're gone. Then people get a kick out of that. You give me your retirement date and your expiration date, and I'll have a plan that works every single time. But we don't. We just say, hey, research says that if you're a married couple age 65, 25% chance one of you are going to make it well into your 90s, 50% chance in your low 90s. So we need to plan for that, 92, 98, whatever. But people get it when they see it visually or they hear me say something or I don't know, some just trips or whatever. So just continue to listen and to act, because remember, when you don't do something, that's making a decision as well. All right. I've got my Ed Slott Elite IRA Advisor Group meeting coming up soon. That's why I'm actually going to Austin, Texas. And I'm excited about it. You know, there's all kinds of, it's always good stuff. I'm not presenting or anything. I'm just going. My longtime assistant Angela's daughter is pregnant with twins. She lives in Austin. Angela's going to be down there because the babies are scheduled to be born right at that time when I'm there. So I'm like, this is really cool. If they have the babies while I'm there, I get to go see the newborns in Austin. So that'd be worth cutting out on a session for. So pretty exciting stuff. But I want to continue. You know, I was at a lunch on this Thursday, and I'm not going to have time to go over it today, but I'm just the investment world, the products that are being introduced are incredible. I mean, they're so dynamic and so good. I mean, the days of just owning stocks and bonds and real estate, cash, commodities, that stuff's going away. I mean, there are so many other ways to protect your money, to make more money, to make money on your money and all kinds of things, pass it on to your heirs better with protection and enhancements and all that. I'm gonna spend some time next week, because if you're not doing some of this stuff, and some of it, if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you can do it yourself. You need to be on top of it and watch it, but I think most of the people that I work with, they're glad that someone else is doing it for them. But I'm going to talk about it in pretty great length next week, as I think next week I can. What is next week? I'm looking at my updates here. That would be the 20. Oh, that's the 2nd of October. Actually, Jolene Dixon's on. I can't talk about that. We'll talk about it sometime. I'll get it in some way, somehow. All right, so let's take another break, because I only have about 7 or 8 minutes left. I need to get 2 segments in. I'll be right back. Let me see what I'm talking about next, and I'll tease you into it. Oh, we have the retirement planning today happening at Ivy Tech through the Center for Lifelong Learning. We want to make sure if you got an invitation to that, you sign up and come. Doug Hughes will be teaching the majority of it. I'll make a little cameo, I'm sure. But we'll be right back at Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes on this wonderful Thursday night in September. If you miss any of it, of course, you can hear it Saturday morning, 9 a.m. here on WGCL, 98.7 FM. I was actually listening to 1370 a.m. the other day. I was coming back from Greenwood, and a new glass was on in the afternoon, and 98.7 was some other station. So I went to AM 1370, and boom, there he was. So if you think AM radio is something of the past, it might very well be, but occasionally when you're listening to traditional radio, it helps to have both an AM and an FM station. So anyway, a little shout out to the old 1370 people, because back in the old days of this show, there was no, it was 93.1 for a while, and then it went to 98.7, that's the FM side, and that's where most people picked it up. But before that, it was straight up AM 1370. WGCL, that was the call. Now we're Bloomington's Voice, right? We got cool websites. Kent Sterling and the group, they put together just a really great professional-looking studio. They're working on a brand-new one right now. So it's kind of cool to see the evolution of all of that. But anyway, so you can always listen on WGCLradio.com after the Thursday night airing, or wherever you pick up your favorite podcast. Not every single podcast platform, but most of them, you can listen to it at your leisure and at your own speed. You can slow me down, you can speed me up. I don't think you need to speed me up today. I'm on a rip-roaring tear today. Again, still rolling that on that high from last Saturday. It's been a great week, by the way. At the office has been great. A lot of stuff going on in our world. A lot of growth happening, a lot of new fun things going on. And I've got a lot of other interests, as you all know, and a competing interest. You know, we're working at the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame right now, where we have the nomination committee has put forth a slate of people for us to haggle over and vote on. So that'll be happening early October. We won't make the announcement of who it is. We won't get the entire class selected in October, but by November we will. And we'll probably have the announcement show sometime in December. I've got Monroe County youth football, our little Titan team, 4-0, undefeated. Finally got scored against. That's not going to happen again. Having fun with that. Had practice tonight, actually, on Thursday night. That's why I come in a little early to record, so I can get to the 6 o'clock practice. Boys and Girls Club, a lot of great stuff going on there. We have strong women tonight on Thursday, because again, all my competing interests, I'm on their board. So, but we're sending a bunch of people to that event tonight. I'll be at practice. So that's again, a competing interest. What else? I mean, the Bloomington Speedway is behind us, for the year. But yeah, so I have a lot of other stuff going on that I enjoy doing, because I think it means something and it matters. But when it comes to my focus, this is what I love to do, as many of you know. All right, so I'll be at the Ed Slott meeting. I'll bring back some really good stuff. I promise that. But that's not until, November 6th. Yeah, that's when I'm there. That'll be the Thursday. I actually go out the 5th, I think, because I'm on Ed's advisory council, and then I'm coming back on Saturday because we do the big elite night out on Friday night. And it's going to be in Austin, Texas, so I'm sure it'll be really great. Yeah, and then, boy, the year will be flying by. It'll be Thanksgiving before you know it, Christmas before you know it. Got the Colts game still, IU games. We have three home games left for Indiana, I think. So just a lot of fun stuff going on. So anyway, I'm hanging in there, enjoying life, and then hopefully bringing it each and every week for you. All right, let me take a quick break, come back. We'll wrap this thing up. It's Your Money with David Hayes. All right, guys. Just a few minutes left in the program. Hope you enjoyed it. Not a lot of heavy lifting today, but a lot of maybe reinforcements of concepts and ideas as we went over the big, beautiful bill, some of the things that you need to know before the end of this year. I think it's super important that you don't let these things slip away. Also, a little bit about the markets, why they're acting, how they're acting, what makes sense, and just understanding, putting things in perspective so you're not like, wait a second, jobs were good and markets were down, or whatever. I mean, you need to understand how this stuff works. And being in this industry, this seat for 31 years, I've been through a few rate cycles, so I know how things normally go. And then, of course, we had the big AI discussion with Elon Musk's opinion that, hey, robots are going to run everything. And during the break, me and Alex were maybe, saying, we shouldn't be scared of it. We're going to have to just roll with it and adapt to it. But it does test our nerves just a little bit. And then, of course, went through the importance of doing some great tax planning as well. So next week, if I have time, I think Jolene's on next week. I was looking at my list here. The Social Security Administration, Social Security Office, she will be on. If not, and I may still be able to slip it in, I just want to really get into this investment stuff where if you're not doing it or talking about it, you're getting way behind, because where else can I say I'm going to invest money in something that would give me 120% of what the S&P 500 does? Oh, and by the way, I have protection of 10% if it goes down, or I have 30% downside protection, and I can participate in the S&P 500 up to a cap of 200% over the next 3 years or 5 years or 6 years. Or if the market's down, I still make money. I mean, it's insane. And I'm not saying anything you should put all your eggs in. But, man, when you start to feather some of these little concepts in, these buffers, dual direction things where, hey, if the market's down 10 or less, I make 7 or 8%. They actually reduce risk and increase returns. And that's what we're all about, trying to optimally invest to get the best return with the least amount of risk, right? Isn't that what we've always wanted to do? Well, hey, I hope you have a great weekend, and I hope the Hoosiers put it on Iowa on Saturday. We're doing a little watch party at a friend's house 3 o'clock on Saturday. So hopefully it's going to be great. And I'll be back on a big high again next week, and I'm sure my little guys will win on Sunday afternoon. So no problem there. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.